Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. Our scripture this morning comes from the first chapter of Exodus, beginning with the 15th verse. I want to warn you of parents with young children. This is a kind of one of those Old Testament stories that will require a little of explaining to do. A little explaining for your children. And so children, there's a place in here where people are ordered to kill other people. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. But this scripture deals with it. And these great women decided not to kill anybody. So this is the passage from the 15th chapter of Exodus, chapter 1. Listen for the word of the Lord. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, when you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and they did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them to do, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, why have you done this and allowed the boys to live? The midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and they give birth before the midwife comes to them. So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives feared God, God gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, every boy that is born to the Hebrews, you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every girl live. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Exodus is a great book filled with really powerful stories. And in the book of Exodus, like a lot of the great Old Testament stories, we learn a lot about who God is, what God likes, what God is like, what God does. And the story of the midwives is one of those, I think, beautiful and powerful stories for us. We pick up our story today when Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, tells the midwives that they are to murder all of the Hebrew sons that are born. Why? Well, because the Hebrew people, and they are slaves to the Egyptians. The Hebrews are slaves. The Hebrew people, and they are immigrants from a far land, they are becoming too numerous. And so Pharaoh wants to thin their population. Why? So he can continue to have control, and he can continue to exercise dominion over them. Look, if things get bad, and we ever have an uprising with no Hebrew baby boys to grow up into young men, we Egyptians will have to fight their women, not their men. And that's a good thing. So, because of national security, can you believe it? Pharaoh says, kill the Hebrew boys. In a perverse sort of way, it makes sense, doesn't it? It makes sense to weaken the Hebrew people so that Pharaoh will be able to exercise his control over them longer and more completely. It makes sense to everybody, except it doesn't make sense to the midwives, Shiphrah and Puah. It doesn't make sense to them at all. Now, so they don't do it. Pharaoh calls them in. Why have you not done what I have done? What I have asked you to do? What I've commanded you to do? The Hebrew boys are being born, in fact. Why is this? And Shiphrah and Puah say, well, the Hebrew women are, and the word they use, are vigorous. They are more vigorous. These Hebrew women are more vigorous than these Egyptian women. So by the time we get there, they've already had their babies. That term vigorous has to do with beast. The Hebrew women are beasts. That's what Shiphrah and Puah say. Regardless, they can't get there in time, and by the time they're there, the boys are already born. Now, in this story, we don't know who the Pharaoh is. We don't know the name of the Pharaoh. Scholars have said maybe it's Didymos or Titimaus, and I'm sure I've pronounced both of those names incorrectly. But scholars suggest it might be one of those two, but they aren't sure. The Pharaoh, we don't know, but the midwives, we do. We remember their names, Shiphrah and Puah. We remember their bravery. We remember their story. We remember that God used these ordinary women to save God's people. One commentator suggests that Shiphrah and Puah are the first people in recorded history to exercise civil disobedience. That is to say, they were asked by the law, by the authority, to do one thing, but they did not do it. They did another thing instead. Rabbis have long considered these midwives as healers and protectors. Shiphrah and Puah are heroes. The memory of Pharaoh, what's his name? That memory doesn't exist. We knew he was ruthless and cruel, and he asked these women to do a horrible thing, but we don't know his name. We do know Shiphrah and Puah, and we thank God for them, and we wonder, can we be like them? Are we not called to be like them? And who has served us as Shiphrah and Puah served so many? Now, I don't know a lot about actual midwifery. I don't know much about childbirth. Sometimes fathers-to-be come to me for advice, and I tell them, whatever you say in the delivery room, don't say, I feel your pain. Don't say that. And don't say to your wife who's in labor, just breathe. All you have to do is breathe. Don't say things like that. In fact, just communicate love and be patient and look into their eyes and do what they say. But don't say too much because it could be taken the wrong way. On a deeper level, though, for this passage, you don't need to understand childbirth or midwifery to get this text. This text is about something greater than its immediate setting. Midwife is an interesting metaphor for ministry. I want you to try that on. The idea of being a midwife is an interesting metaphor for ministry. We all are called to be ministers, right? We all are called to serve one another. We're all called to be disciples of Jesus the Christ. And for different ones of us, that means we have different metaphors for ministry or different metaphors work for us. Pastor might work. In a Boy Scout camp, I was called Padre or Sky Pilot. You know, all kinds of metaphors work. Friend, teacher, minister, reverend, pastor. These all work. They suggest a duty, an aspect of being a disciple. We're all called to be disciples. But the metaphor midwife works as well. Now, when my friend Dave McNatten, who's running sound right now as I speak, when he introduces me to his friends, he might introduce me as Matt Matthews. Here's my friend, Matt Matthews. He might even say, this is Matt Matthews, my friend, who's my pastor. Dave McNatten is never going to say, this is Matt Matthews, he's my midwife. No, he's not going to say that. At least I don't think he's going to say that. Nevertheless, midwife as a metaphor for ministry, it works. We are all called to be, I dare say, to be midwives to and for and with one another. So broadly speaking, a midwife helps us to bear something new in the world, helps us to give birth to, say, a new idea or a new dream or a new vocation. A midwife is somebody who comes alongside of us and is with us when we make transition in life. Those of you who've lost a husband or a wife can probably speak to a person who was your friend, who stood by you during that passage of time. Not only the hours and days of that time, but the months and the years. They helped you become a widow or a widower. They helped you get your feet back on the ground. A midwife does that sort of thing. A midwife is with us through a job change or a divorce or some other tragedy of life, a tough patch. Now, we do most of the work. The midwives don't do a lot of work. We do most of the work. We do the pushing. We do the hard, heavy lifting. But the midwife is the one who brings the sheets, who boils the sheets, who circle the wagons. The midwife listens. The midwife speaks a word of comfort. The midwife listens to us. The midwife lifts us up in prayer. The midwife prays for us and prays with us. The midwife is there. Male or female, that midwife is there as we do the heavy work of making one of life's great transitions. Ministry as midwifery, it's not a big stretch. Yeah, the metaphor is a little odd at first, but given the context of this story, doesn't it make perfect sense? We're all called to do it, to be midwives with and for one another. Shifra and Puah, they are brave examples. They stood by and they brought healing when they were asked by the law to bring harm. They brought wholeness when they were asked by the Pharaoh to bring destruction. But no, they didn't. Their calling was clear. They were midwives, and they were going to be faithful midwives, no matter who told them to do otherwise. They were midwives. That's a lot to take in, that ministry is midwifery. That we are called to be friends to one another, disciples to Jesus, midwives to our friends and with our friends and in our communities, to help our communities grow and reform and become more like the kingdom of God. We're called to be midwives in that situation, to help our community, our neighborhood, make the transition. Who do you know who's a midwife? I know Shifra and Puah. I know them through Scripture, which comes to life for me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Rosa Parks is a midwife. I never met her. My mother was a midwife. My father was a midwife. Their memories are still coaching me through transitions of life. Rob Dahlhaus, he's a midwife in our community. He wouldn't consider what he does midwifery, but if he read this passage, I bet he would agree. He comes alongside those in our community who are experiencing tough times, living close to the streets, who might be experiencing homelessness. He's the director of See You at Home. Rob Dahlhaus is a midwife. Tracy Dace, Richie Drennan, Tim Young, Damon Rowell, these men are midwives to me. Midwives to me because they teach me very directly and powerfully something of God's love and sacrifice. And they embody that love and sacrifice and bravery and courage. Do you know any midwives? Have you ever been a midwife to someone? Mentors, pastors, coaches, counselors, neighbors, midwives. Call it what you will. It is God's holy work. It requires patience. It requires a listening ear. It requires a willingness to reach out your healing hands. Being a midwife requires us to stand by somebody and to say to God, here I am, Lord. Use me in any way you wish. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know how my hands could bring healing. I'm open to learning, oh God. Use me, I pray. God does and will use us. We are called to be patient and to stand by. Who are the midwives in your life? Who have helped you get through a tough patch. Thank them. Thank God for them. Pray for them. Remember them. Be a midwife. And remember today, remember Shifra and Puah, who lived their calling despite a pressure to do otherwise. They lived their calling and brought grace to the community they served. They stood up against what was wrong and immoral and evil, and they did what God would have them to do. They lived into their vocation. Remember them, Shifra and Puah. Don't forget. Give thanks to God for them. And live up to God's calling in their example to be like them. And to God be all honor and glory and power forever. Amen. Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.